When you think about stories in your life, you always think back about different experiences you've had, different moments you've encountered, different things that set in motion, really, you being able to recall different aspects of your life's journey. And for all of us, we have different moments that we encounter life, and as we encounter those things, they weave together a story. And the story begins to read a certain way in light of decisions we make, choices we make, ways in which we go, paths we get on. And when I think about how God wants to shape all of our story, He wants to bless our story. And yet we have to oftentimes stop long enough, let Him write it. Because if He's writing our story, something becomes very profound and powerful about our story. And during these weeks, as we've been in the summer and headed into the summer, we have been looking at what it means to bless Him. In other words, to take a moment and take gratitude and love, blend them together into something that's absolutely beautiful. Because when I bless the Lord, I express my love and my gratitude. I put those two things together, and I begin to see Him for who He really is. Because if I'm grateful, no matter what's coming my way, and if I have anchored my heart in love, what happens to me? No challenge is too big, no trial is too overwhelming, no circumstance gets the best of me. I'm able to put my life together in a way that God intended. And so today, as you think about that, we learn today what it means to ask God to bless our story. Because all of us have one. We all have different points of reflection in which we look back at and we realize that was a moment in which that chapter was being written that was challenging or overwhelming, that was defining and directive. Because the truth is that when you read a story, it either mesmerizes you or puts you to sleep. And the truth is that God writes a story that always mesmerizes you and always captures you. And when I think about the amazing story of God's great provision for all of our lives and for all of our families and for our children, it's an amazing story. We just have to get in on what He's up to. And so I want to take you back to the early years of our life story. And I only want to reflect on a few things related to our life story, because the truth is, our story is about Jesus. And so I want to reflect on who He is, what He does, and that's what's going to carry you into the Bible today, because today we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 26. And when you get there, you're going to find and discover that inside of this particular text is a place where a song is about to be sung. And it's a song that grabs hold and speaks into the hearts of those who are God's people. And what you see today is you'll find something very powerful as you look at this, because it is exactly the text that God used to carry me out of a momentary challenge that was so overwhelming. I can remember it like yesterday. We had only been married a short while. We were on staff at the wonderful church there in Del City, Oklahoma, First Southern Del City. And I'll never forget this, because I had never thought that you would ever have any down moments if you serve the Lord. I mean, I thought you just kind of, you stayed on a pinnacle. You stayed right there. I mean, this is a season of my life where I had the privilege of being able to baptize tons of people. I got to watch as people were saved. I got to watch as lives were transformed. And so it was a season, part of our story that was so rich and powerful. And yet in the middle of that, I found myself in a battle with the adversary. And the adversary was coming at me in a strong way. And it's interesting, because I can remember the battle like yesterday, because the battle was all about, you are not worthy. And I can remember thinking, maybe I'm not. Maybe I am not cut out of the cloth that's going to allow me to succeed and accomplish what God intended. Maybe growing up on the other side of the tracks is too much to overcome. And I can remember thinking, I was getting bombarded with all these negative thoughts. And it's so much so that I just went to bed. And I laid in bed for like 2 days. And I laid there, and I mean, I was sitting there thinking. And it's interesting, by the way, when you stop living, you start dreading. Because God intends for you to live, not dread. And so I'm sitting in that bed, and I'm just laying there. And I'll never forget this, because we were newlyweds. I mean, we were newlyweds. We had a wonderful relationship. But I'll never forget on the third day, I can see Cindy's face just like it was yesterday, okay? And it's been many years. She walked in the room and she said, how long are you going to lay there? And I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, maybe for another month, however long I want to. And I'll never forget, she looked at me and said, you need to get up and get moving. And I'm going to tell you, it was like God was speaking straight through her. And in that season, Isaiah 26:3 became my story. Look at it with me if you would. The steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. I'm going to tell you, that verse grabbed hold of me and spoke to me in such a vivid way because what it said was, all I had to do was fix my mind on him. All I had to do is zero in on who he is, and he would give me a perfect peace. Now, when you look at the word perfect there, it's interesting because it takes by way of thought not just perfect, but watch this, complete and genuine. In other words, not a false peace that's going to come and go. And I'm going to tell you what's interesting. Never had another experience like that throughout our married journey. And yet I can remember so vividly thinking, how do I come out of this? But he will keep in perfect peace who keeps their mind steadfast. And today I want you to think about what happens if all of a sudden you begin to reflect on your story and you start asking the Lord, I want my story to read in such an amazing way. And the reason I wanted to begin with one of my negative moments was to show you something. God takes all the challenges and the things that could overwhelm us, and he shapes into our lives a story that gives us the capacity to help anybody who comes our way. I used to think as a little kid, why was I born into this home? And then I realized later on that it was so that I would have the privilege of being able to help others who find themselves in the same place, in the same kind of journey, so they know which step to take, which way to go. And what I want you to think about today is what happens if all of a sudden you start reading your story and you say, wait a minute now, I need to ask myself a question very clearly. What kind of story are you writing? In other words, what kind of story are you pushing out? Or are you pushing out a story that's negative or disconnected or doesn't allow someone to see the joy of the Lord in you, doesn't see the peace of God in you? And it's interesting because I was thinking about in preparation for this message, the big lessons that I look back on over all these years that have really been the most effective for me and most guiding for me. And it's interesting because the first one's the most important. If it's not eternal, it's not worth too much consideration. If it's not eternal, it's not worth a lot of major focus. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. In life, there are a whole lot of things that are not eternal. There are a whole lot of things that just don't matter in the scheme of things. And so what happens is you start thinking, wait a minute, what if I lived with an eternal focus? And here's what I want you to get across to your mind, in your mind and heart as you think about this. If Jesus is Lord, which he has to be in order for you to write a beautiful story, all right? So think about this. If he is Lord, then what happens to you? You find yourself in a place where you submit to his word. Watch this. You submit to his word. You're obedient to his will. You're willing to say, you know, Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm going to do. And you're committed to following his spirit wherever he guides you, whatever steps he wants you to take. And so imagine that all of a sudden, you're sitting in church today and you're thinking about your worst chapter. That chapter where your faith was not strong, where your focus was dim, where you weren't zeroing in on anything eternal, and you start going, wait a minute, now I gotta get back to the big lesson. Because I'm gonna tell you, what you discover is no one will reflect on what you accumulated, but they will reflect on what you affirmed. In other words, if you affirm the hearts of people and you bless them, that's what they're looking for, because people need to know that God has a plan for their life, that God wants to do something inside of them, that God has something he wants to put in play for them so they can experience life the way he intended. I had the privilege this past week of going over and seeing my mom on Memorial Day and reflecting with her a little bit, and I was talking to one of my nieces, and one of my nieces went through the most challenging life circumstance because her husband suddenly left her, and her life completely was, that chapter was the most painful chapter. And I can remember all during that time, I would always say to her, just keep your eyes on Jesus, because he will care for you beyond this circumstance. And today she's happily married to this amazing man, and she has one child with him, and she has all this story comes together in such an amazing way. But I was sitting at the table with them, and I looked at them and said, isn't it amazing that when you are broken, he can bless you? And they said, we are so grateful for our brokenness. Which tells you something. Their chapter that they're writing now is so beautiful because of what they lived through in the first chapter. or the other chapter of their life. And so imagine that all of a sudden you start thinking, I'm going to think eternal. Second lesson is really, really powerful. And on the screen, you're going to have, it's going to be the wrong word here at the end, so I want you to catch this and correct it, okay? Contrast is not conflict. All right? Contrast is not conflict. I didn't catch that when I was walking through my outline. And here's what I want you to think about. There can't be two more contrasting people in life than me and Cindy. I'm an extrovert. She's an introvert. She this week, for example, listened to a classical piano competition out of Texas. Right? Now, I want to ask you a question. Would you be honest? Do you think I would ever listen to a classical piano concert? Absolutely not. And the truth is, she was, I mean, I walk in the house and she's just got this glowing smile. Oh, oh, oh. And I'm like, what happened? And you know when I smile? When I see a big steak or when I see something that a great hamburger. I mean, those are the things. I mean, she and I, last year, we were up in Jackson Hole, and we went across this restaurant that had the biggest burgers in America. I mean, giant. And I forget what the title of the burger was, but that was a moment you can't forget. Now, because it was exactly what I'm like. I love that part of it. And when you think about contrast, what I want you to see today is this. God brings into our life, He weaves into our lives all these different aspects of people. When Cindy and I went on our trip a few weeks ago, we did go to a symphony. Now, you got to realize, at a symphony, she listens to the cellos and the instruments. She listens to all those things. What do? I look at people because I'm thinking, who is at this concert? How could they sell this thing out in an hour? I mean, because I'm like, what's that guy doing? What are these songs? What is this music all about? And but she's sitting there going, And I'm sitting there going, I'm just praying somebody small sits beside me because those concert halls have really small seats. And so she said, oh, don't you love him? And I'm like, oh, it's wonderful. Just being with you is wonderful. But what I want to show you is this. There are contrasts in our lives that they're not conflicts. For example, some of you may be people that wake up in the morning ready to face life. I'm that kind of person. I wake up in the morning and I aggressively go at life. Cindy has never seen a morning she liked. And I learned early on the key to our success in marriage was for me to leave before she woke up. And so for all the early years, before we had kids in particular, I was out of that house in 15 minutes because I knew if I came home later, it'd be a wonderful marriage. If I woke her up, it'd be a horrible marriage. And so what happened? I learned that contrast, morning versus evening, and how that works out. Isn't it interesting that sometimes God speaks to you in the morning and speaks to others in the evening? But it's a big lesson that I learned very early in life, that what's eternal matters. What's big is that we don't let contrast become a big point of conflict for us. A third and final lesson, and I want you to dig into the text with me if you would, is because this very principle, and that is, love is the key to every great story. Love is the key. Because I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you allow love to be the part of your story that's most powerful, then it carries you through everything else you'll ever face in life. And I think that's exactly why Isaiah records these words in Isaiah 26. Because what love does, love helps someone see. Love helps someone see that they can make it through the hard chapters of their story. And all of us have had those difficult moments, those challenging moments that are a part of our story. And when I reflect on them, if I gave you all the hard moments, you would sit there and say, man, that pastor, he had a hard life. But the truth is, watch this. Not every day is easy, but every day is good when Jesus is Lord of your life. Amen. Not every day is easy. Some days you go through difficult times. Some days you go through heartaches. Sometimes you go through challenges, and they seem to get the best of you. And all of a sudden, you zero in on what it is He has for you. So I want us to read in Isaiah 26. I want you to follow along with me very carefully. I'm not going to preach a long time today, but I wanted to reflect on this because, watch this, our life is like a vapor. We are here and we are gone. What someone remembers about our story, if it centers on Him, it will stay with them forever. And when I look back at my upbringing, all of my relatives almost are gone from the two generations before me. And while I was home to see my mom, my sister gave me pictures of my grandparents and of my aunts and uncles on both sides of family. I looked at those pictures and I realized that here are pictures that are a reflection of so much loss because they're gone. And then you know what I started thinking about? The ones who represented faith. The ones who represented Jesus. And because they're the ones who made the most vivid impact on me. And so imagine that all of a sudden you start thinking about who you have that has gone on before you, who gave you the right story, who pointed you in the right direction. And I'll tell you what happened. When you start doing that, something powerful begins to happen. Yesterday, our little grandson and my son had come by the house, and actually our grandson was there first, and one of the things that, and I love the fact they do this in our academy, but they teach them and they pray, they put their hands together. And some do like this, but they do like this. And whenever you ask Levi, can we pray? He immediately puts his hands together and starts smiling. And when he's done, he claps. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if you and I, every time we prayed, we put our hands together, we smiled no matter what we're facing, and we clap when we're done. You see, that's what makes life worth living, trusting in Him, putting your focus on Him, keeping your eyes on Him. So in Isaiah chapter 26, read with me if you would, because here is a place where you all of a sudden start looking at where you find your peace, what you trust in, and ultimately what you wait for, okay? Where you find your peace, what you trust in, what you're willing to wait for. Isaiah 26, verse 1, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful, the steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. For he, watch this, has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He casts it to the dust. The foot will trample it, the feet of the afflicted, the steps of the helpless. The way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. Don't miss this verse. We have waited for you eagerly. Your name, watch this, even your memory is a desire of our souls. At night, my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when the earth experiences your judgments, watch this, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. When you read this, you realize that here is a place where all of a sudden a song is being sung that gets them in preparation and gets them ready for what they're going to ultimately face. How they're going to go at life, what they're going to do, what things they're going to experience, because here's what you discover. At the end of the story, Jesus wins. And you win if you're with Jesus. Because if you're with Him, something powerful begins to happen. And I'm sitting at the table on Tuesday morning with my mom before I came back to Atlanta. And I'm sitting there, and my sister's there, my nieces are there, everyone is sitting at the table. My brother-in-law, everyone is sitting, and my sister looked at me and said, can we talk about heaven for a moment? Well, my mother's eyes got really big because it was a time to reflect on what really matters, what ultimately is the story of all of our lives, because ultimately we don't die. We just move on to live with Him forever if we trust in Him. And so what happens, I had this wonderful interaction with her. Well, my little niece and my two nieces were sitting there listening. And so I looked at them and I said, I'm going to ask you something. What's your real goal for this summer? And they look at me and said, well, we really don't have one. I said, well, you do now. I want you to read the New Testament this summer. And every day I want you to read in the New Testament. Then I want you to tell me what you read. Show me a promise you found. Because here's what I discovered. If you don't plant something deep in them, they will miss that. So my prayer is that eternally what will happen to them is they'll hear God's Word speaking to their heart. They'll start saying, you know what, that's who I want to be. I want to learn how to live, and I want to be able to experience what God intends. It's interesting, on June the 1st, my older niece wrote me, and she said, I read in Matthew, let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works. And see, what I want you to think about today is, in this text, all of a sudden this song is being sung, and it's being sung to help people realize something, that the righteous remnant, those who chose to continue to follow God, ultimately get to sing a good song. And what I want you to think about today is, God has a song for every one of us to sing. We just have to be willing to say, you know what, I want to sing that song. And I want to sing a song that matters to me. And that is a song about Jesus. So all of a sudden, he begins to write here. And I want you to see just three very distinctive things. All right? I want you to see these in light of where you're at. Because here's what I want you to get in mind. You are writing a story. You're writing a story in the hearts of your friends, your children, your coworkers. You're writing a story. And that story either, watch this, weaves into it the amazing and powerful presence of Jesus at work in your life, or it just means you're existing. And I want you to think about today, what happens if all of a sudden you get on fire and say, you know what, my story needs to be better. My story needs to be greater. My story needs to read in a way, when somebody reads, they go, wow, this mesmerizes who I am. This captures my story, and it causes someone else to go, you know, that's what I want. That's what I want. And what happens here is he begins, and the first thing he does in verses 1 through 3 is he tells every one of us something very important, and that is, our pursuit of his perfect peace should always be a priority. We ought to always be wanting to have that complete, genuine peace in our hearts and lives. Because when you have that, something begins to happen inside of who you are. It begins to change how you live. It begins to change how you respond. It begins to motivate you to be different because that peace rests on you. That peace rests on inside of your heart. And so today, as you think about that, how much are you pursuing his perfect peace? Because you'll notice here, he makes it clear. We've sung this song. Look at verse 1. We have a strong city. He sets up walls. He sets up ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. You see, if you think about what really matters, if you start thinking about what is it that matters most, you begin to experience a peace that you could never acquire on your own. And I'm going to tell you what Isaiah was saying. You want a peace that grabs you and never lets you go? You get a hold of this peace. Let it become your story. Let it become the evidence of who you are, how you live, what it is you encounter, what it is you believe in. And all of a sudden, you begin to think, wow, I have a peace I never dreamed I could have. And that peace becomes a part, a significant part of your earthly story, which really connects into your eternal story. And so think about this. You start pursuing peace. Now, all of us find ourselves at times in pursuit of something. And we're in that pursuit of whatever it is it captures, watch this, captures our imagination, captures our attention. And we think, man, I want to go after this. I want to get this. I want to experience it. And let me tell you what I want you to think about today. What would happen if all of a sudden his peace became your target? You didn't want to have a troubled night when you went to bed sleep at night. You didn't want to have difficulty. You wanted to have a peace that passed understanding. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. The battle is real. The battle is real because what the adversary would like to do is steal your peace. Because when you lose your peace, what happens? You lose your direction. When you lose your direction, you lose your stability. And all of a sudden, you begin to live unstable. You begin to bounce along. And that bouncing along, what does it do for you? It causes you to lose the capacity to discern what it is God wants you to do. But what you discover is, if you learn how to pursue peace, you go at it in the best way you can, something happens inside of your heart. But it doesn't stop there. Look at the second thing. Verse 4. Notice this phrase, trust. Notice what he says here. Verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. I want you to get this in mind. Trusting in the Lord is literally our only guarantee of success. Because trusting in the Lord takes us away from our own confidence and puts us our trust in him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, two of the anchor verses from my early ministry that I look back on often. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your steps. And you think about it a moment. Wait a minute now. So I need to learn how to trust him. And notice what he says in verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. In other words, we got something to hang on to. For he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. What's he saying here? Just because you have something that seems like you can't conquer it, you got a rock to hang on to. And that rock carries you through whatever it is you're facing, and you go, you know what? I can conquer this because he's with me. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you get there, what it does. Let me tell you what it does. It takes a broken boy from an alcoholic home and says to him, you can make it. It takes a family that faces great challenges at times, like our family did at different moments. And what it caused us to go, you know what, you can make it because he's the rock of all ages. He's the one who orders your steps out. Imagine what would happen like today if all of a sudden everybody anchored to the rock. Nobody anchored to a pine tree. Nobody anchored to a shrub. Everybody anchored to the rock. And I'm going to tell you what happens to your story. You start anchoring there, something begins to happen inside of you. Because he makes it very clear here in verse 7, the way of the righteous is smooth. By the way, he's not saying here there won't be challenges on that way. The idea of the smooth way has to do with us realizing that if our eyes are fixed on him, he's going to make sure that no matter what we encounter, he is going to be with us, guiding us, taking care of us, and watching over us so that it feels so much smoother. It feels so much more powerful than what it is if we're trying to anchor ourselves. And what happens here is, I want you to think about this. You start saying, wait a minute, I'm going to trust the Lord because I want to succeed. Have you ever met anybody who had a plan to fail? In other words, their bottom line was, I am going to fail no matter what. The reality is, no one wakes up in the morning and says, man, I like failure. Let's make it happen today. No one wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm going to flunk a class in high school because I want to take that class again. Any of you students say that? Angie, did you ever say that? No way, right? No one would wake up in the morning saying, you know what? Hey, guess what? Today, I want to hit somebody's car. I just want to experience the joy of failure. No, you don't wake up that way, do you? You wake up going, you know what? I want to succeed today. I want to make this happen today. I don't want to wake up going, you know what? It's going to be another bad day. I want to have a great day. And here's what I want you to see. When he says, trust in the Lord forever, look at how he says it. You trust in him forever. And you ought to circle the word forever there, because here's what he's saying. The consistency of your trust, watch this, defines the smoothness of your way. In other words, if you start saying, Lord, I'm trusting you no matter what happens? Something goes forward for you. It changes the way you live out your life. And here's what I want you to get in mind. If you trust him with all your heart, you start trusting him, he will be with you beyond any challenge you ever face. He'll be there. If you start trusting him, I'm going to tell you what will happen. All of a sudden, you won't be so identified, watch this, in your problems, you'll be identified in his purpose. Because here's what happened. When I start trusting him to lead me to success, I don't get overwhelmed. I don't get overwhelmed by things that are irrelevant. I zero in on what matters. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that whatever it is God wants to do through me, I am focused so clearly that you have to go, wait, you know what? I can get there. Look on, though. So first of all, pursue peace. Secondly, trust the Lord no matter what for all the success of your life. And the third thing I want you to see is this. Look, you go to verse 8. Indeed, and this is such a great, rich text. Indeed, while you're following the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls. At night, my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. When you read that, you realize that when you start seeking him, you start going, Lord, I want you to speak to me, and you start seeking him diligently, it allows you to learn all the critical life lessons you need to learn. All of a sudden, you start going, wow, guess what? He spoke to me about what I'm supposed to do here. He gave me guidance about what I'm supposed to do there. He gave me all these principles that are going to guarantee that I live a life that matters. And can you imagine what he talks about here is, even when I lay down, I'm waiting for him to speak. I'm waiting to hear him say something to me that makes my story even more beautiful. Now, I love the fact that he has written on our hearts an amazing story. We just have to be able to look inside of our hearts and go, you know what? How does this story read now? But do I have myself where I'm still urgently looking for him? Even the memory, remembering things that really matter the most, because watch this. He has planned for every one of us amazing experiences. We just have to wait on him. Because sometimes our timing is not his timing. Sometimes we go through things we don't understand. We go through challenges we never dreamed we would. And those challenges, if we're not careful, what happens? Our challenges become our identity instead of our conviction. Because what happens is God wants us to operate with very clear conviction. And I think back about our journey of faith. I want you to think about this for a second. In our first church, the pastor taught us if you weren't attentive to souls, you missed what it was that God called you to do. In the second church, the pastor taught us if you don't care for the sheep, you're not a good shepherd. The third pastor taught us if you learn how to pray, you could trust him for things beyond your imagination. And when I think back across those learning experiences, all of them set in motion what we do here and all over the world, is us being able to care for the souls of men and women, boys and girls, us being willing to anchor ourselves in believing that he's going to do something. Our shepherding of hearts and lives is all anchored in the teaching of a pastor who said, you know what, this is important, you should live this way. You see, all these life lessons became a part of our story. And the third pastor taught us that if you get on your knees, you win all your battles on your knees. And what I want you to think about today is that you think about your own journey. What would happen if all of a sudden you're here today and you start writing a new story? You start writing something that is powerful, it's amazing, and all of a sudden it changes the entire trajectory of what you're going to live out your life for. Because I know this, Cindy and I have celebrated 40 years of life together. The likelihood is we don't have 40 more. The likelihood is that in the span of the next 40, that one of us will find ourselves seeing him face to face, perhaps both of us. And when we were heading out on our trip, I had our oldest child come to my study at home, and I said, now I want to talk to you about a few things, because we're going to be in places where ISIS has attacked. We're going to be walking in places, and I want you to be prepared. If something happened to both of us, I want you to think about taking care of these things for me. Well, I think my daughter, she wanted to know all that, but she was startled by it. And I realized that someday, whether it's something that happens like that or whether it's some other way, God's going to call us all home. And I wanted her to be prepared. I wanted all of us. And I'm going to tell you what I want you to think about. We live in a chaotic, crazy day. We ought to live in such a way that brings such honor to him, no matter what it is, whatever day he calls us home. God is honored by our departure because we see him face to face. And today, as you think about that, we come to the end of this text in my heart and life, because when I think about how he wanted us to seek him diligently and we would learn righteousness, I wanted to end by just making a couple comments, and it's this. First one is this, and I want you to think about these because these have become the essence of what our story is all about and what my story is all about, because number one, we do what we love. If we love his word, we read it. If we care about souls, we share. If we want to make an impact, we give. If we commit ourselves to accomplishing something, he does. And so what happens is what we do, we love. So if we love him, something will happen in our life. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, I want to accomplish that. The second thing is that it started very early in my journey. I always ask myself two questions every day of my life, and that is, are you real? Do you care? Because I'm going to tell you, when you're real and you care, you change lives. You can make a difference to people beyond what you could imagine. And the third thing is simply this. People follow vision, not victims. Because truth is, we've all been through difficulty. We've all been through heartache. But people follow the vision that comes from God. And when that vision comes from God, something happens inside of you. Finally, the one other thing I want you to think about before we take our moment, just to invite you to respond to him. Because it may be you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, you never said yes to him, and you may need to make that step. You may be sitting here saying, you know, you have religion, but you've never had faith. I want to show you what happens when you make that step. Maybe here God's told you to join this fellowship, take that step. The final lesson I would tell you that as we wrap this message together is this. Faith opens the only door to please him. When you trust him, something happens. It's amazing. And so my question to you is finally this. Are you ready? Are you ready to add a chapter to your story? Because if you are, can't think of a better day to take that step. And you may be here not realizing what it means to completely trust him, to put your heart in him. We have people who will help you understand exactly what that means, and your life will be anchored forever to the rock, the everlasting rock. And so today, if you're finding in your heart something stirring, you think, I have not felt this in a long time, or I've never felt this before, all of a sudden you say, you know, I got to take action. If that's happening inside of your heart, I want to invite you to respond today, experience what he has for you. As we pray together, you watch him work in your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the promise of your word. Thank you for the perfect peace that comes when we put our lives in you. I pray in a special way you bless every person that's walked into this building. And maybe there's some here who've never given their heart to you, Lord. Speak to their heart. Let them put their faith in you. Secondly, Lord, if there's someone here who needs to join our fellowship, Lord, let them do it today. And Lord, more than anything else, we want to thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness, and for the way that you order out the steps of our journey. You are an amazing and powerful God that not just knows what we think when we lay down, but also understands the intent of our thoughts and the intent of our hearts. So Lord, bless us as we respond. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.